This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
People of Power, good morning to you and welcome to the final hour of Power Talk this morning. 9 minutes past 11 and we're about to enter into an exciting conversation because, honestly speaking, what they've come up with is truly exciting. Some might say not groundbreaking. I think it is, and it adds so beautifully to the space of civic education, voter education, public participation, insofar as getting to know your candidates. The mycandidate.opencitieslab.org platform makes it possible for you to actually find out who are the candidates in your ward, because guess what? Not all of us are going to get that door-to-door knock, you know, from the political parties and their actors. So it's upon us at times to just find out who are these candidates. I will be chatting to Richard Givers, the founder at Open Cities Lab, of the work that they are doing with Open Up and how they've also embedded Wazi Map. And we will talk a bit about what that is all about. I'm telling you, technology in the mix of electioneering, making it all the better for us to actually have greater access to these candidates that are there, because there are plenty. In some wards, there are over 30 ward councillor candidates. My goodness. Richard, good morning to you.
Good morning, Lukwana. Thanks for having me and thanks for listeners. Good to be here.
Absolutely. I mean, I know when you launched the My Candidate, you know, portal, Richard, you also asked for people as they interact with it to send you feedback. What are some of the issues you deal with when you are trying to create a platform of this nature? Because you want to make sure that the information that people get access to is as accurate as possible.
I think there's a lot of considerations that go into it. I mean, for us, and thank you for the question, I think for us, we wanted to put this out there, but we also strongly believe in opening access and opening information, you know, quite widely and broadly. And also, I think, quite passionate about understanding what it is that people need. As you say, like, some people might not say this is groundbreaking. I myself was concerned or considering whether this would be something useful because it does seem like something quite simple. But so I think it's where, you know, the power of having people that are active and care about voting, care about inclusion, participation, and obviously social media, a platform like Twitter, where you can reach out and say, hey, we're putting this out there, we don't, again, being a nonprofit, we don't feel like we have proprietary ownership over this.
Yeah.
It's based on open data that is released publicly by the IEC in a format that's difficult potentially to go through. Please come in and chat. And so apart from very good, and I mean, I think a lot of people on Twitter, we owe and can take a sort of ownership in how this thing has developed because we've been getting great feedback. I think, but in terms of the election sort of issues that we're getting feedback on is what's surprising to me, I think, is that people were apparently quite, and I mean, I think myself when I found this out was a bit of a shock too, is that firstly, candidates can run in multiple wards.
Yeah.
We've been getting questions about what it is, you know, how the PR, so public representative versus ward councillor system works, And starting to explore, firstly, I think also the diversity, as you said, over 30 candidates running in some wards. Some political parties, some of us believe there's one or two or three opportunities.
Yeah.
And so I think those are some of the main things that are coming out. And, you know, I think it's also why we were inspired to put out information. So there's a blog post that was written by Jody Alamaya that will be available on the tool that talks about how your vote counts and how it all comes together in terms of your local council. There's also really good information out there by a lot of community groups and NGOs and others that are interested, you know, academics that are interested in supporting the widespread access to information and empowering of voting, you know, to better support what impact local government elections can have on residents and communities in their local areas. So we definitely just feel to be an honored part of the conversation and fans, really. More than experts, I'd say.
Absolutely. And Richard, I wonder, I mean, you know, the inspiration behind hyperlinking these each and every councillor candidate to a Google search so that, you know, the voter is just a click away from finding out what is out there about their candidate.
Yes. So, I mean, I think that was, you know, I found myself doing that. I found myself trawling through a long PDF and then, you know, copy paste into a browser.
Yeah.
And I was like,
to just get a sense, who are these people?
Yeah. Yeah. There must be an easy way. And I was like, oh, yeah, I run a civic tech lab. There is an easier way. but so I think it was, you know, that experience of wanting to be informed. But it's quite an interesting mechanism when one starts to talk about open data and civic information, because it's all about starting to try and remove barriers, but it's certainly like a long-term goal, you know? So, I mean, this, as you say, I think it's quite useful that what is publicly available on a Google search, look, we can talk about search engine optimization and some of the evils of that maybe another time, but at least there's as an equal opportunity for candidates' information to be found, you know, their social profiles, their LinkedIn, their Twitter, what their thoughts are, what track record they have in government, if they have had that, their information on a political party or municipality website. So I mean, you know, what was quite an interesting debate for us was, do we want to, you know, let people put forward information? But I think any curating of information starts to then become not equal. And very much comes down to who has access, which people have resources behind them. And so I think, like, you know, our thinking around that is very much, let's remove the first barrier. Let's let people, maybe one or two, let's let people know who's running in their ward. Let's let them know what other wards they're running in. It's their age. And really materially, because that's the information on the IEC data itself.
Yes.
And then what a public Google search brings up. What we hope, and what we are actually seeing, which is really encouraging, is that starts to spark some action around, if you can find information, questioning them, you know, your potential representative about that, or someone you're interested in voting for, and hopefully also parties and individuals putting, you know, starting to realize the importance of being transparent and available as a public. Someone is publicly accountable for the governance in your local area.
So, in fact, talking about that, Richard, I mean, we were just playing around with your platform and we were looking in one area, and then I see an 81-year-old candidate for Action SA somewhere in Bryanston. So I say, is this possibly the oldest candidate out there? So then I put this up on Twitter. I tweeted, and then someone says, no, there's a 93-year-old candidate down in Durban in Ward 33. Now, Ward 33 is where I reside when I am in Durban. So I quickly go, and I'm like, oh, no ways. And then somebody says, others don't want to be outdone. There's a 121-year-old. But I quickly realized that when you probably were doing the algorithm, it quickly picked up the people who were 00 in terms of their IDs, it based them at 1900 and not 2000, because now poor Patrick, who's a 21-year-old here in the city of Johannesburg standing for the ANC, there are screenshots that are saying he's 121 when in actual fact he's 21. But I think those are some of the things you started fixing as you were going along.
Yes. So I think, you know, I mean, so to talk about, interestingly, I'm sitting in Ward 33 in Durban right now.
Oh, wow.
at a family member's house. And yeah, I mean, I think what's been really interesting is the stories that are coming back. And you know, sometimes, like, there's a lot of seriousness, of course, and this is a really critical issue.
Yes.
But also, it's fun for people to do these thought experiments and to get together as groups and friends and say, what would it mean to vote for an old candidate? What would it mean to vote for a young candidate?
Absolutely.
You know, experience and wisdom, energy. You know, I don't think there's a need to be ageist in it. Like, I think different people and different from different perspectives, especially with whatever their experience and context in, will bring different opportunities, you know, across the age range. But I mean, the other point you touched on there was exactly why, though scary, I think we felt. So, I mean, you know, just to say, this is not apart from the fact that we are obviously a non-profit organization, not obviously, but we're a non-profit organization that is nonpartisan and and is really more about interested about creating functioning, inclusive cities and people that are interested in participating in making them better. I think, you know, this project is not something that is sort of directly funded or anything like that. It just comes out of, you know, the work that we do. And so putting it out there on Twitter meant that instead of, and I think this is just an interesting, you know, sidebar and user experience where it's really scary of any type of work, whether you, you know, whatever you create or want to put out there is, you know, you can try and get it, what you think is the best version of it polished. But quite often, if you, though it's scary, if you put it out there, people will start, and it's something that people want and need, they'll start to feedback. And that was some of the feedback we got, you know. The one was that age issue was coming up, which is fixed now. Another that was, you know, almost user experience improvements, like the fact that the Google search was .com, not .co.za. So that's now optimized. And we're continuing to get this feedback. Also, the methodology of pulling data or extracting data from PDFs is
into
still not
the,
great. Yeah. And so we're, you know, also why we put it out there was to make sure that no one's being left off. And,
absolutely.
You know, as I said, the source is directly from the IEC. We're not doing anything to curate data apart from, you know, making it available through this mechanism. But yeah, so I think that's what really is like sort of lit a fire for us and for me and as you say, like collaborators from Open Cities Lab, Paul Burke with Sturdy Alamaya, others that have been sharing it. It's around the fact that people are interested and they're actually, you know, they're not just like, oh, whatever this, we don't care. It's no, actually, wow, we want to know, you could make it better for me and for the people that I'm interested in sharing this with, because we want to know who to vote for.
Richard, let's take a short break, but I do want to come back and chat about another useful tool that you have embedded on that platform, which is WaziMap, and it gives people information about their wards using especially the 2011 census, just as to why you think that's important, but also the growing, you know, influence of tech in opening up space, like you say, with Open Cities Lab, with Open Up. There are grassroots, there are people like Paul Berkowitz doing some interesting work as well. People of Power, I'm in conversation with founder at Open Cities Lab, Richard Givers. There, 0861-987-000 is the dial. If you might have a question, but I'm telling you, if you don't know who your ward councillor is yet, go to mycandidate.opencitieslab.org. Very, very useful tool. 21 minutes past 11.
Power Talk with Lukhona Mguni. Weekdays 9 a.m. to noon on Power 98.7.
Indeed. Talking all things local government elections, platforms that can make it easier for you to access who your ward candidates are and, of course, get to know better about them. But also, do you know enough about the place where you stay at? Founder at Open Cities Lab, Richard Givers, joins me on the line. Now, Richard, as I said before the break, you have embedded WaziMap, which is quite a useful tool in breaking down 2011 census findings about the various wards that we have in South Africa.
Yes, so I'm really glad to talk about WaziMap. I think it's a very fundamental way to explain the power of open data and civic technology in promoting informed decision making. So created by Open Up South Africa, another very good friends in Cape Town, South Africa, created for an organization called Media Monitoring Africa, who use it to and you know, wanted to be out there to help, especially, or first, the first use case was journalists and understanding the context of the places they were writing at and all the demographics that were available. But, you know, as a mechanism, it takes information from South Africa and in one or two other cases, for example, the IEC, because voting results are available on there. And again, in a more elaborate and pretty mechanism than the My Candidate tool, it presents this publicly available data in a way that allows one to locate themselves and understand the context of their ward. And also, where possible, the longitudinal story from when data, this sort of data is available. So 2011 census, the community survey in 2016, election results, national and local over the years, and as this information comes out. So, you know, working in that sort of intermediary space where the tech is a mechanism to tell a story, to help the data tell a story about, you know, what exists around where you live. And, you know, being able to go from a South Africa provincial, municipal, and then ward-based kind of understanding. And so we felt, you know, what we would really like to see again, and we are finding in collaboration with both NGOs and community groups and with governments, is that the more that we can understand and build the evidence-based narrative and the context, we hope and we believe we see more informed decision-making happening. And hopefully, you know, one might be able to use that tool to find out things that, or to verify things that you know about your local area and engage with your current, but I mean, obviously soon to be new or potentially re-elected representative around issues that you feel are important around you, you know, whether it's economic development, jobs, and, you know, whether it's about opportunities in housing, whether it's about potholes, service delivery, infrastructure development, whatever it is that you care about. And, you know, I think also on top of that, just the social cohesion around what can happen at a ward level and how, you know, cities are becoming more and more important globally in economic and political and social dynamics, you know, with high rates of urbanization. Of course, the pandemic's been an interesting sort of, I mean, obviously devastating, but also like an interesting factor in the work, you know, work and context of cities.
I mean,
I think, you know, this is the sort of power it can have. Yeah,
sorry, absolutely, Richard. Let me just go quickly on the line before we run out of time. Malesela, good morning.
I'm Guni. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Yeah, how are you?
My question or comment to your guest was that, is it possible to work around, you know, a platform that would actually make it more user-friendly for people to vote, just to take it a step further, you know, so that, because, I mean, we some of us prefer to go and queue and vote, but other people may prefer to just do it in their homes. But that will also make sure that you also capture a lot of people who might not be interested in going out and standing in queues and all those things.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. I mean, Richard, this is a very important question because the IEC is exploring various possibilities around, you know, electronic voting and what that means, whether electronic means, you know, making more electronic the process of voting at a voting station, or it also includes the possibility of online voting. Is it possible that we can come up with a homegrown solution? Because some of the people that they've been chatting to are actually abroad.
Yes, so I think, firstly, I think there's a very strong and growing civic tech community and tech community in South Africa. But I think it's something that you said earlier, Alkona, about tech and civic participation. So tech is the pipe, it's not the water.
Yes.
So I think what's really, you know, we want to build the infrastructure like this that connects people to the water. But what's really important is, does everyone get equal access? Are we thinking about the digital divide? Are we making sure that whatever intervention happens is really about the actual problem being solved? So in this case, opening, you know, the problem there is not as much a technology problem as it is how do we get more people to vote in the way that suits them?
Absolutely.
You know, and I think what is always going to be the case in the civic space and with civic tech is it's big civic and small tech. So we understand a civic problem, we try to get things together to work in the way that we know that everybody will be crowded in, included, and have access to a solution that sort of broadly, again, supports participation. And then there can be tech and non-tech options that come together, you know, mail-in voting at the station with these options, developing technology that helps you, you know, vote in time and e-voting. I think there's been some interesting, I think there's quite a new space, and there's, you know, even globally, I think, what I find quite interesting is that international partners and international contexts are not always as far ahead as we'd like to believe in South Africa.
Yeah.
So we have quite, you know, I think it's definitely possible to develop technology, but I think certainly I would want to make sure that we're framing the problem correctly and have a solution that's around getting that right, you
know? And resolving the problem that we have. But I mean, Richard, you guys are doing fantastic work already ahead of the wave. By the time hopefully Spectrum is auctioned and, you know, accessibility to various platforms is made much cheaper, you will actually also be able to explode even much more than you have in terms of the work that you have done. So thank you so much for your
time.
But also for this fantastic platform.
Thank you so much. And as long as we continue to keep being able to have impact. We're happy that we're helping.
Okay, fantastic.
Thank you so much for the time.
Only a pleasure. That's Richard Givers, Open Cities Lab founder. They're taking us through. Go to mycandidate.opencitieslab.org and you will definitely know who is your councillor candidate in your ward. Power News headlines.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.